Robin McCarron. Jeff Hawkins.
Is it? Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my gosh!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE. Styles is here!
Let me tell you a couple of three things. Bill Leotardo, The Sopranos. R.I.P. to the great Frank Vincent. This week's 205 Live is to be a must-watch. A great TJP match, Drew Gulak being awesome with Fandango and Microsoft products. And Jack Gallagher is a heel now. NXT is Nikki times Tino. And a great little tease featuring Johnny Gargano and more Brits. The Mae Young Classic finishes up, and it's just okay. Raw is promos to pop the internet circa 1998. SmackDown is stacked on matches and a couple segments that would deserve more criticism if you didn't expect the company to pull such crass stunts. All that and Ant Flow comes to glow today on Shake Them Ropes. I'm Jeff Hawkins, all about the cold takes and hot pastrami. Returning from his suspension this week is Rob McCarron. And Rob, do you feel adequate shame?
I humbly apologize for the errors of my ways in the past.
No. The proper one, the proper sports way or politics way is, I'm sorry if anyone was offended.
I'm sorry if you were offended by my actions. That's certainly not what I intended. And for that, yes. I am sorry.
Yeah, you put it on them, not you. I didn't do it. I'm sorry if you were offended.
All right. The following hour of this episode of Shake Them Ropes will just be all of the people we feel are white supremacists.
No, we won't.
No, we're not. We're not doing that. Okay, we are not.
Yeah, I thought you were focusing on the hour part of it because I went a little long last week. I thought you might be mad at that.
Oh, did you?
Oh, good. You didn't listen. Never mind.
Oh, I don't listen to shows that I'm not on.
Well, it's funny because Novembrino co-hosted with me, and I love doing shows with Chris, but he's like, "Did we get any feedback?" I'm like, "No, but." It's generally good that we don't get feedback. It means everybody kind of liked it. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, we get too much feedback on these regular shows. Too much. Now, there's never a thing as too much feedback. This is episode 220. What is it? 228? 229?
229.
229 in canon. I have not completely wiped out last week's episode from the history of the show at the moment. So this is episode 229, the final season of Shake Them Ropes. What?
Is it 229 or 230?
I think it's 229. I think it's 229. Hey, how about this, sir? The Undisputed Era.
Yes.
Give me your hot takes.
I'm glad they didn't call it KFC or something dumb like
not
that.
Not hot takey enough, sir. This is okay. The worst name they could have possibly chosen. It is really? The worst. It is the worst. Tell me where I'm wrong.
They could have named it Tino Sabatelli.
Tino Sabatelli, by the way, son, going, what is he going to go one-on-one with Gargano? Is that the story?
Yeah, like, I think he's going one-on-one with Gargano, and thankfully he can after getting out of the ring with Riddick Moss, because Moss has been known to injure a couple people here and there,
I'm telling you what, though. I'm telling you what, they have not yet done, as far as I can tell here. They are taping the next few weeks of television right now at Full Sail as we record this show. They have not done, as far as I can see, a Tino Sabatelli versus Johnny Gargano match. I wonder, sir, if they're going to build that up and hold it off for NXT TakeOver.
Oh my God, Rob.
I think we got our first takeover match for November. It's Tino versus Gargano. They're not doing it tonight, man. They're not doing it tonight. You got Gargano up there against Andrade Almas, losing, by the way, to Andrade Almas. Good for him. Crazy tapings going on right now. Crazy tapings going on.
I'm liking it. I'm liking it.
Undisputed though, so. Era has a fourth member.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Not who you expect, people.
Nope. Not at all.
Not at all who you expect. They have a fourth member. You're going to have, you got Kairi Sane, by virtue of winning the Mae Young Classic, going to be involved in a four-corner survival match, a four-way elimination. I don't know if it's elimination or just a fatal four-way for the NXT Women's Championship in November. Technically, I would suppose that is the first match announced for NXT TakeOver. So you're that, you got that to look forward to. Asuka coming to the Raw side. It's been an important week for news. So I will not make you listen or talk about Tino Sabatelli for 15 minutes. I just wanted to let it be known out there that the dude's time is now. He's getting the push. Singles matches, possibly a takeover match. It's Tino's time. Bobby Roode's gone. This Undisputed Era thing is going to fall and crumble on itself. TM61 is back. TM61 is back. The tag team division getting a boost. They're finally back. So, interesting stuff. What was the most important thing of the week? What do you want to kick off this week's episode of Shake Them Ropes discussing, Mr. Jeff Hawkins?
Did you watch the finals of the Mae Young Classic?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I watch wrestling.
Yeah, but I didn't think the Mae Young Classic was going to be your thing.
The finals. Oh, Kairi Sane, I'm in love.
Are you?
Oh, I'm in love. She's the best of all time. The WrestleMania match. I'm sorry, Emma, you're getting kicked out of the WrestleMania main event. Asuka, Kairi Sane, one-on-one, 85-minute time limit.
What did you think of the actual match?
The actual match was good. Listen, Kairi Sane was doing her bumping thing. Shayna Baszler was... I don't want to say robotic. It felt to me like she was... she's not fluid in the ring by any means, but she's also very new. I mean, to be at her level right now is probably, it's an amazing feat. With how little she's been wrestling. It's been under 2 years. Yeah. So to go in that platform in a pretty big stage and do what she did was pretty good, but she's not Becky Lynch. She's not Charlotte. She's not Sasha Banks. She's not Bayley. She's not any of them yet. She's not close. And Kairi Sane did the best they could. There was some awkwardness there, but that's okay. It was an important match. It did not have to be the best match ever.
No, and it felt to me like almost an anachronism versus a modern-day wrestler. It felt like Shayna was kind of working a 1980s Harley Race type style.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Versus Kairi, who was doing kind of the modern-day thing. And even Kairi had a bit of the shackles on compared to, say, the Toni Storm match in terms of flying and bumping around. I mean, I liked it. I didn't think this was the crowd for it either. I think that was a bit of a miscalculation on their part. I know that Vegas is the fight capital world.
Yeah, but they won that crowd over, man. It was probably one of the better places to do a Shayna Baszler match. Anywhere else in the world doesn't respect or know who Shayna Baszler is as much as some people did there in Vegas.
Yeah, by the end of the match, they had gotten them over, and it's very weird because that 205 Live afterwards was spectacular, and it got decent pops too. But that building wasn't full to begin with; it didn't sell out that night. And
they did everything they could to try and make it with Vince showing up.
Yeah, at the beginning of the match, the biggest pop was for Lillian Garcia doing the intros, which was good
to see her back. Yeah, it was good to see her back, though. What I thought was interesting with Shayna Baszler is she's still new enough to the point where there were obvious places during that match where she's like, okay, she knows she has to do something, but she's thinking like the next step ahead, because the next step ahead is something that's like a little bit more involved and she's got to make sure she does it right. There were times she walked into the corner and kicked the rope where Kairi Sane's arm was, like it wasn't even a thing. Like, she was not building up some of her spots. She was just going through the next thing because that was the next thing on the list of what she had to do. And she'll get much better. This was a very good starting point. They did win the crowd over. The elbow drop is going to be huge and very popular. This was a win, all things considered. I mean, this Mae Young Classic was a win.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things about this. It helped the Performance Center people that they wanted to see if they matched up with the indie women. Yeah. I think it helped it helped the network in seeing if they could do this binge watching thing. Although I wouldn't put four at once, I'd put maybe two at once if you expect people to be completionists. I think it helps the women's division overall. I mean, optimism was paid off here at least because, I mean, we were all expecting that. I mean, a lot of people were expecting this to be the start of some sort of main roster feud with the NXT 4 or something like that. And they rewarded the one. What?
People were expecting that?
I think so. Oh. I think they had expected, or they had at least expected Shayna to win because of all the Ronda Rousey hype.
Oh,
and
okay.
And to have that kind of photo moment. I do think there was a lot of cynicism involved in thinking, you know, who would win the tournament, well, at
that,
least.
That's funny because if Shayna Baszler didn't need to win to do any of that stuff, because everyone knows who Ronda Rousey is. It's not like they have to build Shayna Baszler up. Shayna Baszler will be Ronda Rousey's friend, and that's good enough for when they do, whether it's a Survivor Series match or a definite planned WrestleMania match involving her.
No, it's just odd listening to like the aftermath, and people get way ahead of themselves thinking that, well, now Vince will use this tournament to somehow strengthen and bolster a women's division because of the brand split that's floundering. I'm like, I got news for you. Look at the women they have on the main roster. Are those the people you think of as great wrestlers? No. So I don't think that's the point of this. So I wish people would stop thinking that a great wrestling company is the be all end all of WWE. It's a casting agency. So stop it. But I think overall it's a positive for WWE all the way around.
This whole tournament, if all it was a really long angle to get Kairi Sane over, it's still a victory.
It's fine. And you know what? People got over by being in the ring with Kairi Sane.
Because you can't
Bianca
just go.
Belair.
Yeah. You can't just go Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler in a half hour match in Las Vegas without doing something beforehand. And this is so much better than doing video vignettes. Now people know, okay, Kairi Sane's something to fear and deal with.
Yeah.
It was great.
And
fantastic.
She's great.
It was after the fact. I mean, we're a year removed from the Cruiserweight Classic and we know what happened there. This Mae Young Classic may not have had all the, you know, the great matches or the high level indie name talents on a grand scale or so much depth, whatever. The Mae Young Classic was better overall and more important than the
Cruiserweight
Classic.
Product, I would slightly agree overall. And also they had half the competitors.
Yeah. Jim Ross,
I mean,
sucked.
Half the competitors helped.
Yeah. Jim Ross and Lita sucked. They were awful.
They were terrible, and they were terrible Tuesday night.
Terrible. Oh, just so terrible.
Now,
mostly
on the other
Jim
hand,
Ross, he's awful.
I liked the Tom Phillips, Nigel, Beth Phoenix combination. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Tom Phillips is a pro. I mean, for how short he's been doing this. I mean, it took Michael Cole a decade to be any good. And Tom Phillips is pretty good right now. Nigel McGuinness does his job. He's definitely becoming the heel announcer. He does that in NXT. He was doing it. He's doing it on what is the main event now? Is that the show he's doing right now, or is it 205 Live? Which show is Nigel doing?
Nigel is on, I believe, both 205 Live and NXT.
Well, I know he's on NXT. I knew he was on a main roster show now. Yeah, 205 Live, whatever show it is. He's definitely the heel announcer now, and eventually that will become annoying. But right now, no, good team. Beth Phoenix, awesome. Beth Phoenix is the best of all time. So, yeah, she should be in the WrestleMania main event. She should ref Kairi versus Asuka. Who's more important? Okay. Who's more important in WWE history, Beth Phoenix or Goldberg?
In WWE history.
WWE history.
Goldberg.
I think it's
Goldberg.
Yeah, it's probably Goldberg. Probably Goldberg. He had a pretty big loss there at WrestleMania. Dude, whew, so good. Oh, what else we got going on here? Let's see. John Cena and Roman Reigns continue to talk shit with each other.
Yeah,
who do you think's doing better at that?
Who do I think's better at that?
Who do you think's been better at that? Because I'm getting so many people. So many people telling me, okay, that John Cena lost the feud with The Rock. And now he's trying to recreate that feud with Roman Reigns, where Roman is basically in the Rock position. And I'm like, were you guys not watching the feud with The Rock? John Cena was running circles around him.
I agree.
Now John Cena's running circles around Roman Reigns. But the thing about Roman Reigns, though, The Rock at least could... He didn't seem scared. He didn't seem out of place. Like, yes, there was the one time where he read the notes on his hand, whatever, so be it. He was out of wrestling for a while. I don't fault the guy for having, you know, cliff notes, okay? But The Rock never seemed out of place when he was talking out there. He never seemed like he was scared to go on or nervous or not confident. Roman Reigns goes out there week in and week out, and he crumbles until he gets his little bitch line out and he feels like a man again. This is a disaster, and it's only going to get worse because we still got like 3 weeks to go.
It's a disaster. It's a feud about things that don't matter. I was having better matches. Who cares? Nobody well, cares about... That's like...
It's funny. Well, you mentioned
that. It's stealing the show yes. crap. That's what it is.
But on that note, Roman Reigns is the one out here talking about having better matches. If a guy like Daniel Bryan was doing it, fans would say yes, because Daniel Bryan's known for having good matches. People don't know Roman Reigns for having good matches. Every time you throw a good match of Roman Reigns in someone's face, they're surprised because they're like, oh, you're right. That was good, but I didn't remember it because it's Roman Reigns. He doesn't have that rep for having good matches, even though he's been one of the more solid guys over the last 3 years. He doesn't have that rep. So when he comes out there and says it, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Roman Reigns? The hell are you talking about? John Cena has just as good of matches.
Why can't a feud just be two guys who want to beat the crap out of each other?
No, it's about numbers and about who's taking their ball and either going home.
I sold more tickets. I have more t-shirts than you do. I have my face. I mean, when Punk did it, it was because he wasn't getting respect, at least. I mean, there was also some real animosity to that.
Right.
There's no real animosity to this.
But CM Punk never went full on breaking kayfabe. He was talking about how he's the best in the ring because he was winning matches. He was going out there and talking about how he's the best in the microphone and all that, and he's putting everyone in their place. A lot of people saw that as shoot stuff, and yes, he did some shooty things, but he never once broke character like, oh, I go to the boss's ear and I'm not getting pushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not on the collector's cups. It's not the same thing as saying I'm not pushed as a champion. I'm not on the collector's cups. I could be the best wrestler in the company. It's the same thing with guys in the UFC. Guys in the UFC say, I'm a champion, but I don't get pushed on top of the main events. I don't get put on the TV shows and all that stuff. It's the same exact thing. Roman Reigns is going out here, and John Cena puts him in his place like, oh, you pissed hot. You got suspended because you pissed hot. And he crumbles in his little shell, and he's like, oh, my God, you got me. Roman Reigns is going out there trying to just... I don't even know what he's trying. He's trying
to
just hang up with John Cena.
I think I know. I think he's doing like 1995 or 96 Shane Douglas type stuff, you know, where, oh, you held me down, oh, you were playing politics in the back, and I was a young and up-and-coming star, and you always bury young talent. It's like, you know, that stuff, like I said, he's trying to pop the internet for 1998. This and the Enzo stuff, it was just, I mean, all of it is just crap that may have popped us back in 1998 when the internet was very, very small. And it was, you know, oh, we're booking for the Smarks, you know, and it's just, we want to suspend our disbelief, not have our nose rubbed in the reality of it. You know, it's office politics, the feud.
It should be noted right now that Jeff Hawkins is doing the show while his beloved Cincinnati Bengals are playing football.
They're not playing football. They're doing something on a field with an oblong object, but that ain't football.
And they're getting destroyed by...
Are they?
A Houston Texans team.
I believe only fielded
8 players tonight.
Let me tell you something. We're not even at the second Sunday of the NFL season, and I'm already done with college football and pro football.
Yeah. Jay Cutler's undefeated.
Oh, jeez.
Your boys are down at halftime against the Texans. That is bad. Okay. Anyway, baseball-wise, Aaron Judge is back, and that wraps up your sports update here. Jeff Hawkins, thoughts on Jemele Hill?
No, we're not doing that.
I knew it. We're not doing that show.
She's terrible on every level.
Wow. I thought we weren't doing that show.
We're not doing that show. I never liked her as a writer, and I thought once she became a talking head, she's just not very good. Anywho,
So Vince comes out.
Oh, Vince McMahon is back. And we've watched Vince McMahon in segments over the last couple of years, and you can tell he's getting older. He's getting hurried along. Like he's enjoying the spotlight, but he's not quite the performer he once was. Right. He was back to old Vince. I felt like that was one of the best Vince segments in the last several years.
Are you at all, how should I put this, disturbed by the fact that given Daniel Bryan is such a presence on this show that Vince took a headbutt like that?
Yeah, it wasn't that much of a headbutt, though.
I know that. But, I mean, just the visual itself. And given...
What I liked is giving Kevin Owens, of all people, the trust to be in that segment with him. Like, he doesn't do that shit for anybody.
No.
He does not do it for... Usually when he's in there with a guy like Kevin Owens, that person is going to get comically put down by Vince McMahon. That didn't happen here. Like, there was the body image shot.
No, he did get... Hold on. He did, at first, get comically put down by Vince McMahon.
I don't know if... Not at the same way. And I think you know what I mean. Like, yes, you can have some words there, but you're usually not... Brock Lesnar is the type of guy who goes in there and gets to put down Vince McMahon and beat him up like that. The Kevin Owenses of the world are not the guys. Like, if Rusev was in that segment, if Vince McMahon decided to do a segment with Rusev, it wouldn't be putting Rusev over. It would be mocking Rusev and the girlfriend and the wife now. It would be mocking them both, sending them out there and putting them in a dog shit match with somebody. You know, like, that just, you don't get the Kevin Owens segments like that with Vince McMahon. So that's what stood out to me, is the fact that
I give respect for him taking that frog splash.
Yeah,
But man, the Vince McMahon acting chops are still... the instincts are still like he's holding his chest the entire time, and he feels the need while he's walking up and being held with the camera in on him tight. He just has to say real loud, "Oh, my ribs!" I'm like, really, fool?
Whatever.
What do we think you're holding there?
He's holding his ribs. He could be just holding his gut.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he's holding his gut.
I liked the angle overall. It's just that the headbutt shot, maybe it's that and the combination of talking about court cases when at least the Punk thing's still going on. It rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, just a little bit. But I mean, I understand. I liked it overall. It helps Kevin Owens a bit. Does it lay the groundwork now for Kevin Owens versus Triple H at Mania? Because Stephanie came out.
Yeah. Okay. I would imagine that's the match for Triple H. If he's going to wrestle at this WrestleMania, it's Kevin Owens. We still haven't gotten much follow-up for when Triple H basically handed Kevin Owens the championship.
No, but they've been bringing it up on
They've started, yes.
Yeah.
We just never got that follow-up. So now if we're going to do Kevin Owens versus Triple H, we have to have a few months of reasoning why. Because right now, as far as we know, Triple H is on Kevin Owens' side.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, you mess with the father-in-law. It's not like Triple H has had the best relationship with that father-in-law on storyline on TV anyway. So he can come in and be happy. Like, oh, I'm glad you took that old fart out. Now it's my time to run this show. Shane's gone. Well, Shane's back now because, right, Vince reinstated Shane. So Shane's back. He's going to be on TV every week. He's going to be promoting this Hell in a Cell match. What do you make of that being one of the main events for Hell in a Cell pay-per-view? They are bringing Shane McMahon back to wrestle once again. Very quickly. I would have expected if Shane was going to wrestle just to be on the WrestleManias, but now he's coming back. He's in storylines. He's in matches. He's not just the GM. He's having matches here with guys like Kevin Owens.
Well, you know that No Mercy is stacked you were gonna hit me with a star. Brawler.
Yeah.
What?
Thought you were going to hit me with a brother there. Like, well, you know.
Well, you know, brother.
Brother.
Well, you know, Raw has all the star power now that they've taken Cena away. And this No Mercy is a stacked pay-per-view. We need star power on the top of that card. Who better than a McMahon to top line a WWE special event on the network? That's how I view it. Well, I view them as look at what he did for AJ Styles at Mania.
What a weird, I mean, talk about brand split pay-per-views. Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens in a Hell in a Cell match. You're going to have Shinsuke Nakamura again with Jinder Mahal. What's Randy Orton doing? Do we know what Randy Orton will end up doing?
Rusev.
Rusev probably right now. Rusev and Randy Orton again, because we just had that match, right?
And seconds worth, you bet.
We're going to, yeah, there's just some rematches. Zack Ryder is now no longer wanting to be a part of this team with Mojo Rawley.
I believe I had that.
Well, yeah. Zack Ryder, what is he going to do? Have a singles feud with Mojo? Is Zack Ryder getting the push again?
No, it's time to heat up the Mojo push again.
Heat up the Mojo push. Dolph Ziggler?
It's the NFL season. Gronk is playing.
Oh, yeah.
We got to heat up the babyface Mojo again.
Gronk is playing and losing. Becoming a monster out there. Does Gronk wrestle at WrestleMania this year?
Yes.
Ooh, we're going to have Ronda Rousey and Rob Gronkowski?
I think so.
Yikes, baby. Yikes. Where is WrestleMania this year?
New Orleans
in Louisiana. Okay. Can have Adrian Peterson wrestle. He's a New Orleans Saint.
He's cutting promos.
If you watch the New Orleans Saints game and didn't realize Adrian was on the team because he wasn't on the field. All righty. Anything on Raw catch your eye? I mean, we got Emma getting out there and losing again. We got, what else we got? What's the
Maryse.
Big thing on Raw? Ooh, Maryse. Maryse is going to have a little Miz.
And are we sure of this?
Yeah.
You think, has she officially announced it on her Instagram?
Doesn't matter. She officially announced it on TV.
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to angle a baby?
Miscarriage, perhaps?
No.
Maybe.
No, not in this, not in 2017 land.
Jason Jordan being the father, maybe?
No, stop it. Stop it. I want Jason Jordan to be a relative of every single person on WWE TV by the end of the year.
Dear Lord.
Like, I want this to be Game of Thrones, where he's someone's aunt and also brother. Like, just make him relative of everybody. Also, Jason Jordan, buried?
No.
The answer is no. Clearly a no. They're doing what I wanted them to do. They're going out there and having him lose competitive matches because he does not have to be the best wrestler on the brand right now. He's Kurt Angle's son, so be it. He's a star on the rise. Doesn't mean he has to go out there and win every match. They are doing what I would hope they would do. They are giving him potential to later on either be a fabulous babyface who the crowd gets behind, or an evil heel like The Rock who loses matches and then decides to take shortcuts and becomes an evil heel. They are doing exactly what I wanted them to do. Don't give him an Intercontinental title match right away. Don't put him in these positions to have to be a star that people turn their back on, because why are you pushing another guy down our throats? He is going out there, losing competitive matches, and the crowd will determine what his character ends up being, but they do not have to be doing it right now. They are winning with this Jason Jordan idea at the moment.
Yeah, and they're losing with this Miz Enzo feud.
Enzo sucks and he's terrible. And why is this even a program, by the way? Is he going to get an Intercontinental title shot on the same pay-per-view that he gets a Cruiserweight title shot? Is Enzo Amore really the one you want to be putting in there for two times on a pay-per-view? No, what? This was a little segment. He was awful in it, by the way. Oh, Enzo, that crowd was turning on him during this whole Miz thing because Miz is so much better in there. Like,
well, he's not saying correct things. He's saying that Miz copied Jericho. Yeah. And
he's a carbon copy of three different guys because that's how copying works. No, yeah. You take little bits and pieces of everybody and you become great. Enzo's doing it. I'm original. Like, you're the only original one. Come on. What the hell? Like, what are you doing? Like, people on the indie scene, was everyone out there saying Larry Sweeney sucks because all he is doing Macho Man promos? No. Are you kidding me? They were saying, oh, this guy's taking great things from Macho Man and other people, and he's going out there and entertaining everybody. Enzo Amore lost people when he said Miz was a carbon copy of four different guys. Are you kidding me? Like, which one is he? Is he all Jericho? Is he all... Enzo Amore, you might as well put Enzo Amore on TV with John Cena and just kill off Enzo, because John Cena would put him in his place even more than Miz could. Miz is not the guy you go in there with and try to put him down. Miz is great.
I just love the overpraise of Brock Braun, as if they don't know how to book usually, but man, they really got it right with Braun, as if that's not in their wheelhouse. Don't know how to book big guys, just throwing people around.
Who would have known that a big guy who's a monster who goes out there and throws chairs at people's heads would be popular? Who would have known? Yeah. The guy doesn't go out there and cut promos
And when he does, he says hilarious things like, I'm not finished with you yet, before he murders Roman for the fourth time.
Yeah. It's just, I'm reading people's opinions, and I'm like, of course, because that's the pet project and it's in the wheelhouse. Why would you not expect no selling a belly to back suplex to get over?
They couldn't get Mason Ryan over. They could get Braun Strowman over. Tell me one thing they did to make Mason Ryan seem cool on TV. I mean, he put on a bracelet and stood behind a dude. He had to join up with a group of people. Like Braun Strowman. The best thing that ever happened to Braun Strowman was the fact that everyone in the Bray Wyatt stable got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a star. Go out there, just kill dudes. This guy should be the one who, they should retcon the Undertaker retirement. Have him come back at WrestleMania and let Braun be the one who destroys him, puts him out. Roman wasn't the guy. Bring him back. And what a troll job that would be on Roman too. And I think Undertaker is going to come back for one more, just because Vince is like, you know what? Roman's not the guy to put you out. I need you one more time. We're going to have Braun take you out.
They're going to have Cena put him out.
Well, Cena could wrestle Undertaker too. I see. So you're agreeing with me, right? That Undertaker's probably coming back.
Oh yeah.
Cause it seemed like that Roman Reigns match, that was it for him. That was going to be the last one. And now, I mean, they're mentioning Undertaker. They got two guys who are ready. John Cena can go into that match and could be a big deal. Braun Strowman could be in that match. It could be a big deal. If Braun Strowman, though, is going to be the one in there with Undertaker, I think we'll find out at No Mercy if that's a plan. Because if Braun loses to Brock at No Mercy, he's not getting the Undertaker match. I don't think that's happening. But if he wins against Brock and he goes in as the champion at WrestleMania, and Undertaker comes back to not only possibly end his career, but to take the title to hell with him or whatever they do. Like, that would be a story. Braun and Undertaker is the main event of WrestleMania. I'm all in. I'm all in.
You know,
I'm buying my ticket to New Orleans right now.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm buying my ticket to New Orleans right now. Just on the fact that I put it on the scroll. I'm exclusively announcing it right now. I'm breaking the news. Undertaker, Braun, main event, WrestleMania, booked.
You're better than what? Slice Wrestling?
Whew, boy, did you know that WWE has signed Kairi Sane?
What?
Oh, yeah. Surprised me too. Thank God for Slice.
You know, I this is going to be a weird aside because we don't usually go completionist, but that 205 Live match between Perkins and Swan, if that was on an NXT TakeOver, we'd have a week's worth of chatter about how great that match was. Where it was now, I'm watching two kids with stupid New Day horns headbutt each other with the dumb lights flickering and a crowd that could give absolutely no care in the world about it. And these two guys, by the end, they got... It was much like the women's match because it's the same crowd. But by the end, when they took it home, they got a nice pop, but they were killing themselves for apathy. That just broke my heart, man. And Drew Gulak is fantastic on this show.
I did not watch.
Oh, at least you don't have to watch the match if you don't want to. Okay. But you got to watch Breezango and Drew Gulak, because Gulak, again, mea culpa. If I thought any one guy was going to die a death on this roster, it was going to be the boring leader of Catch Point from Evolve. Nope. He is fantastic.
He's having his best run. They put Breezango on this 205 Live because they didn't have anything for them to do on SmackDown. That's good. Use some talent from SmackDown who doesn't get on, put him on 205 Live. Kalisto should be on 205 Live.
Agreed.
It's funny, too. People are talking about how Enzo Amore is the first cruiserweight to be involved in main storyline matches, too. Like, he's, you know, The Miz is out there doing an angle with The Miz, or Enzo's out there doing an angle with The Miz. I don't think they're really going to have a main match. They might have, you know, they had the match, the little fight, and they might have a match one-on-one at some point on Raw. Who knows? Do people not know about Finn Balor? Finn Balor, one of the tiniest guys they got. He's out there with the big guys.
He's not officially a 205er.
Right. That's right. He's 15 pounds lighter than Enzo Amore, but he's not a 205er. Yeah.
Well, he has paint.
Oh, that's right. But only sometimes.
Yes.
How funny is that? A Bray Wyatt Finn Balor match, man versus man. not demons this time. Man versus man.
Will there be singing children or exploding monitors of any
kind? One can only hope. I mean, I'm starting to miss some of the goofy stuff with Bray Wyatt.
Are you?
I am. I there was a time there where you would go into a Bray Wyatt match and you'd be like, okay, Bray Wyatt is going to win by some type of fuckery. Like, we're just waiting for that to happen. Like, oh my God, the TV exploded. How did we not see that? Oh, there's a, I know he wasn't in this match, but he's showing up in a hologram. Who the fuck would have seen that coming? You got the swamp match with the New Day. That was, you know, they did their little thing. They were stealing the Hardys gimmick, but that's okay. Because no one saw the Hardys gimmick. 4 million people more saw the Bray Wyatt swamp match. I'm starting to miss that a little bit. The guy's starting to be a little bit boring. He needs more of the supernatural stuff coming back.
Since we're jumping around a bit. Is Ty Dillinger going to be in a three-way for this U.S. title match? Against Corbin eventually?
Maybe. I mean, they did the Ty Dillinger match here. They're doing Baron Corbin and AJ Styles next week on SmackDown. Could they be doing a three-way at Hell in a Cell? Sure, why not? Could they be doing a four-way? Maybe a fourth person somehow gets involved.
I don't see how, because they're not part of the story yet.
Yet, but we have like a month.
Oh, that's true.
We got a long-ass time.
I was disappointed just because I wanted that to be a clean match. I didn't want Corbin's involvement. I understand why they did, but I think they're just going to continue this one guy interferes in another's match for the next month. But that said, this is the way to build up a guy through losses as well, I think. I think Dillinger's getting quite a bit out of this.
Wait, well, just him being on SmackDown's got to do better than what he had been doing.
Well, no, I mean, as opposed to losing to Mike Bennett. Or being in tag matches with Sami Zayn, losing to Mike Bennett. I mean, being in a U.S. title feud's a little bit better.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And one other thing from SmackDown, I just, on the Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable match.
Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. Yes.
Yeah. I had a bit of an argument with someone because they were convinced that Shelton just forgot to tag Gable. I thought it was on purpose.
It took too long
to set up, and Chad just came in on his own just to further the feud.
Oh, absolutely.
Once it breaks.
No, that's certainly on purpose. The whole story with them right now is that Shelton is kind of out of it. Like, they're not a solid team yet. Like, they do some teamwork stuff. But Shelton's been out of the game for a while because the storyline is not that Shelton went away to wrestle other places for 10 years. It's that he's been out of the game for a while and that he was called back to be a partner for Chad Gable. The whole idea here is that Chad Gable wants so badly to have a perfect tag team partner like he thought Jason Jordan was, that he's trying to force Shelton Benjamin to be that. Shelton Benjamin isn't going to be that. And you're going to have that tension, whether it's Shelton Benjamin not wanting to end up being in a team, whether it's Chad Gable kind of gets a little upset with the fact that they're not gelling, whatever the case may be. It's been 2 weeks straight now where you've had the miscommunications, the lack of strong partnership. This is not an accidental thing.
Okay.
What else from, what about the world of NXT? We have Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. They're going to be called the Undisputed Era. We're going to have a fourth member of the team here coming up in the next several weeks on television. They're battling the British folk. They are battling Sanity. Right now, they're just going to be battling all these trios. For all we know, we can get a Sanity repeat from early this year where three random NXT guys join up to fight the Undisputed Era, like the Roderick Strongs of the world, the No Way Jose's of the world, the who knows what of the world. You got Andrade Almas, who's again on the rise in NXT because this new heel character is better than what he had been doing. There's a lot of positives in NXT.
It doesn't seem cohesive in a few ways. Cause I mean, the British guys show up and they're popular and then they leave for like,
They can't be around all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah. They can't be around all the time. It is funny that way, because they can't be around all the time. You have different people shoveling in and out here. And what is all this building to at the same time too? Cause you can only have five or six matches on a takeover. And it seems like right now they're building up 10 different things.
Yeah. We seem to get a Street Profits match weekly. What do you think of those guys?
I love the Street Profits. The Street Profit that isn't Angelo Dawkins will be the biggest star in the game.
Yes, there. He's the Shawn Michaels.
Oh, God, yes.
I'll go with that.
And I'm telling you right now, this guy, you build him up. You give him television time. Let him get comfortable in there. He's already pretty comfortable in there. Let him become this great wrestler. This guy on Raw will be the biggest star ever in wrestling.
Yeah, and I like the Ely brothers. I do. I think they have potential. I just don't know if their talent is growing or not. But you know, I like what I see from them. But yeah, and this Solo Cup thing is going to get over huge. Right. I mean,
oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Now I call him the biggest star in the game. He will be. He's not there yet, obviously, because I don't even know his name. It's Montez something.
Montez Ford.
Okay. Well, I got the first name right. And eventually, you know, it's WWE. He's only going to go by his first name at some point anyway.
Yeah. Montez, or just the Tez, if you want to.
God, no. No, the.
He'll hate the name Montez.
No, the.
I liked the little tease in the Gargano match against Moss, where he was almost playing possum that he didn't know what to do after not getting the submission, but then eventually got the win with the spear. I liked that little that little swerve. I thought it was a swerve. Do you think it was a swerve, or do you think it was really a kind of a moment of, I don't know how to beat him anymore if my submission didn't work?
Whatever.
Like, okay.
I don't know if it was anything at all.
Okay.
I just don't know if it was anything.
No, that's a fair opinion.
I don't know what to expect in NXT right now with them, because part of me also thinks that they're doing all these different programs right now just to kind of see what works.
Yeah.
You know, why not just go out? You have 8 weeks of television before you have another takeover. Just go out there and do whatever you want. Some of these programs are going to culminate on an NXT episode, and you put the rest on takeover that are more popular.
Yeah, and they've decided to make some moves that weren't terribly obvious at first, but now they're trying to make them work, like Sanity as baby faces. So they're turning Nikki Cross and having her team with Ruby Riott, as she did in that match, you know,
that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, because the era, what's the name? Undisputed Era attacked Sanity.
Yes.
So now we can't have a heel group in a heel group fight, and we need a baby face out of there. So we're going to turn Sanity baby, just by saying they're baby. So that's a little weird. You have guys like Riddick and Tino who are kind of stuck on neutral. It seems like this is the level they're going to get to, and they keep trying them out on TV, and they just decide they're not polished enough or what have you. So they put them on ice for another 2 months before bringing them out again randomly to see if another program will catch fire with them. But you have a lot of talent, and you have the Lars Sullivan thing. And I,
it's going to kill dudes.
I like Lars Sullivan. Man, he looks like he's about 48.
He does kind of look old. He looks like a guy who's been going to the gym all his life and is finally just like, I'm sick of these kids. Yeah, I don't know. Who's going to kill? Because this guy isn't long for NXT. If he resembles anything, like if he can get it together, this is a guy who should be on the main roster too.
You think he goes to, I mean, you think they hotshot him to like SmackDown? Maybe. Because Baron Corbin's not working?
Maybe there's some cool stuff he can do in NXT. Baron Corbin's not working. Baron Corbin's working great.
Oh,
I'm running out of time though for him to become champion. I said he would be the world champion by the end of the year. I'm running out of time.
Yeah, speaking of crass stuff.
Because
you were about to go into this, and I interrupted
Dolph Ziggler.
You.
He sucks.
Dolph Ziggler.
This is the worst gimmick ever. And I get it. He's being built up for Bobby Roode, because Bobby Roode is all entrance, whatever. Who wants to see Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler? Name the one person, and you cannot name Bobby Roode.
Me in 2013, maybe?
Bullshit, man.
I don't know. Doing the warrior impression and not informing his widow that you're gonna do it.
Honestly, I don't even find anything wrong with that. Right?
You don't.
He's just doing impersonations of wrestlers with popular entrances in WWE past. The Warrior is one of those. So what if he died?
I have no problem with that. I have the timing though. When you have Dana in the front row because of the Mae Young Classic, that to me. Pick another dead wrestler. Pick Hogan. You want to get booed, pick a guy who who's out of the company because he's a racist.
We should mention that, you know, rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. You know, obviously you broke the news just now that he is dead. He is gone.
Really?
Yeah. Well, eventually I thought he was going to do Hogan. Honestly, I thought he was going to come out there as Hulk Hogan when he did the Warrior stuff. I'm like, man, that doesn't really relate to Hulk Hogan too. Oh, Warrior. I see.
Mm-hmm.
He should do Hogan's entrance as the final one, but Hogan wasn't all entrance. Like, he's doing all these crazy entrance themes of guys coming out. Hogan was anything but entrance.
That said, the best work of his career in about 5 years was the interplay with Kevin Owens at first, just kind of being heels. That was kind of charming, I thought, before they made him suck again.
Dolph Ziggler is the worst. He should be fired.
Along with the Usos, in your opinion?
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, the Usos have done all right for themselves over the last year, you know. But
title change do anything for you?
No, I don't. I didn't even know the New Day wasn't champions.
Okay. I liked the street fight, but of course, I don't want street fight in regular wrestling gear. I don't like that. If it's a street fight, I like the come as you are aspect of it. But the match itself, man, they were killing themselves for this crowd. And it looks like Kofi is hurt because he got hurt. There's reports he got hurt in Hawaii. So this title change may not be long.
It sucks to get hurt overseas or in Hawaii because that's a horrible flight back. So hopefully he'll be fine. The flow is back in glow. What the hell did that mean?
Aunt Flo comes to town. You ever heard that phrase?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
There okay. you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know yes. about that.
Glow is all about periods and abortion, which is just great for two guys doing a wrestling podcast.
I like Glow, man. They're going to start, they started casting season two. Some of the Glow.
I haven't gotten my call yet.
Some of the Glow cast members were there at the Mae Young Classic, including mm-hmm. Karma. Karma was there. And then Dave Meltzer apparently is involved in season two.
He went to Vegas?
Apparently.
Oh, that's what he's doing. Okay.
Apparently involved in something in season two. So that's they're shooting that soon. It's going to be on Netflix next year. So Glow season two is coming back. But what'd you think about this week in Glow?
I liked the subplot with the Wolf Girl and her birthday. I thought that was charming. And it ended up nice where she finally started enjoying herself a bit. And, you know, and even the person who was a little bit overzealous in planning the birthday could still have fun. And it's a nice little camaraderie moment. I still think Ruth is the weak link of this show in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
But
this, what episode did you watch just now? It was not the season finale, right?
No, this is the abortion episode.
Right. Yeah. So. And you'll find out too. It's very odd with all of Ruth, because Ruth, they're building up obviously Ruth versus her blonde friend, her former friend, for the big show at the end. And then you'll see, like, Ruth is a complete afterthought in the season finale. Spoiler alert, complete afterthought. Mm-hmm. And you'll see what I mean. It's funny because, yeah, I like her on the show. There have been a lot of strange, not so much acting choices, but writing choices for her, because again, she's the serious actor and she's taking the role seriously. But at times she's like, she takes it too seriously and she thinks she's not as involved in a TV show and that she thinks things are getting too personal. And I'm like, come on now, it's a TV show. What are you doing?
Right.
You're supposed to be the serious actor.
This one had the feel of a very special episode of Glow, you know, and I didn't mind it as much as my snark may let on. I kind of dig the juxtaposition of having Rich Sommer's character just be a total lech trying to get his ex-wife into bed, because that's what he was doing. He wasn't being honest with the whole therapy crap and give me a hug stuff. He's working an angle, and at the same time, Ruth is getting his baby aborted. I mean, it's a nice little juxtapositions, probably setting up for something. But for me, the heart of this episode, I mean, because Marin's just going to be a jerk throughout, and he's still a very funny jerk. But there are times where you're like, dude, really? Now's the time? Okay, great. You know, at the clinic was not the time I needed Marin's snark. But I did like I like the camaraderie at a roller rink in Glendale called Moonlight Roller Way or something like that. But I liked that whole scene. I like these characters. I just it's just every time they go back to the Ruth main through line, it feels like it loses a lot of heat to it.
I would agree with some of those things. It's just now
Dave
the
Meltzer
series.
doing a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
is he going to be able to be succinct with his lines, or is he going to ramble a bit, or is
he
going to
go, yeah,
oh no, we need to talk about Rhonda or something like that in the middle of it.
Probably. If he gets in some Rhonda lines, that'd be great.
I want a blooper reel of Meltzer. That's what I want.
Authors of Pain, maybe not being called up. They were the big main event of the TV tapings this week.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they. You got Sanity versus the Undisputed, and they caused a disruption, a DQ, and they want their titles back.
I think the plan was still to put them in the Breezango angle, and they didn't, and then they just decided, well, creative has nothing for them. Let's wait for a big debut for later.
Yeah. So they are doing that. Could they be the challengers, the first challengers for the Undisputed Era? We'll see. But yeah, a lot of crazy stuff going on. So I think the abortion episode. Are you at the season finale next then of GLOW?
No, I have one. I have the penultimate episode.
Okay. So we have two more episodes of GLOW, and you'll see.
I will, if you want, I will watch both episodes to talk about it, and then can finish this up.
Yeah, sure. Do it. What are you thinking so far of the season as a whole, though? Like, have you gotten much more into it than when you first started? Or are you just watching because you have to? Like, if you watch the few episodes, would you have kept going had it not been something you knew you had to talk about?
If I didn't have to talk about it, it would be one of those ones where I'd put on the back burner and say, I'll watch it later.
Okay.
To me, it's endearing in many ways, but it's too inconsistent to keep my interest. I'm having a real problem with an episode being really, really solid. And then the next episode just being, this isn't very good to me, it's not getting anywhere, or it just seems to be kind of running in place for a while to hit one minor plot point and then move on.
Yeah.
And there's a scripting issue with me for it, but overall it's not a bad show. I'm just not in love with it as many people are.
Did I, was it my favorite show? No, but the thing I like about this show though, is that I can watch it with my wife, 'cause she likes this show.
Yes.
So, and that's a cool
it's
thing.
It's not for me. I am not the target audience of GLOW,
right.
And I admit that.
And that's the interesting, because I may not have kept going on. Like, I think it's fun and funny, and I like it, but I don't, if I was watching all by myself, I don't know if I would have kept going through the whole thing. Maybe eventually it would have been one of those things that I watched just like in a binge, but I wouldn't need to see. But because it's a show we can watch together and it has interest to both of us, it works out pretty well.
I have no female friends. So
that makes it a problem.
Let me ask you this, because I haven't had a chance to, and this will feel like backtracking a bit. So me making fun of Meltzer is probably.
Oh, so basically the Bengals offense then, huh?
Oh God, we suck. Since I haven't spoken really anything about the Mae Young Classic as a whole to you, what was your favorite match of the Mae Young Classic?
Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler.
Really?
Yeah. Though the final match was the best one, because that's the match that meant the most. And they both delivered what they reasonably expected, or I reasonably expected them to. My favorite match was the final. It had the crowd. Okay. It had the elements that I wanted out of Kairi Sane. It made Shayna Baszler. The last match was the best match. I was really interested in a lot of it. I was interested in everything Serena Deeb did. I was looking forward to the Kairi Sane matches, the Bianca Blair, Bianca Belair match.
Yes,
she became a star too. If they wanted to do something with her, it was a good tournament with what I felt was a fantastic main event. Even if it was not a very strong match, didn't have to be. It just had to do what they went out there and did. So I think
all of Kyrie's matches were pretty great. I thought, and the opponents did well in them as well. Especially the Bianca match, I really enjoyed that one. I think the Piper Niven Santana Garrett match was pretty good. I liked the Kimberly Jazzy Gabbert match a lot on the first episode. I thought that was really good as well. I mean, there were a lot of women who had some, like Candice LeRae, Nicole Savoy was pretty good, I thought too. And Mercedes and Shayna, I thought was pretty good. But if they had interest in a deep women's type of division, I could see them picking up a lot of these women and just building character. But you know, it's always the, if they do it right, and I don't trust them to do it right.
It's very interesting too, that Asuka goes to Raw, because reports are that
Vince thought Raw was the softer roster without a lot of depth, even though that's the one with Bayley, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, and Sasha Banks, all who can do things at a high level, the Emmas of the world who don't get a lot of chances. To me, when I heard that, like, how the hell do you think SmackDown has a better roster?
Oh,
when right now you're going in there with Carmella, and Naomi's great. Know. Charlotte's doing nothing. Natalia's old. She doesn't know what she's doing. Like,
Naomi's not great. Let's not.
Naomi's
not
good. Naomi's good enough. But that's even more to the point, right? Like, how is Raw the lacking depth roster of the women's division?
Who's okay? Here's how. And Vince's thinking, because who's really over on the Raw roster? People boo Bayley. People get a little bit tired of Sasha now and then because they make her look like a geek. Nia isn't yet a star. Alexa gets some pops.
Alexa's
but that's
great.
that's the roster. I mean, and Emma's not doing much on there. Over on SmackDown, Charlotte's a star.
She is the biggest star.
Natty's quote unquote a star, I think, to them. I don't think she is. Carmella gets good reactions, especially with Ellsworth. Naomi gets great reactions because of the dancing. So, I mean, I could see how when Vince measures up, because he's not measuring up who will have better wrestling matches. That's not his barometer for star power and depth. His barometer for what's a deeper roster is who do more people know, who do more people react to, and on SmackDown more people react to them, and that's not even including Becky Lynch, who's probably the best wrestler on that roster on that side. And hasn't been doing anything in the last month and a half, it would seem.
Yeah. When I just heard it, my gut reaction was like, how is SmackDown the roster with more depth? Now, granted, Asuka going on.
Hold on, before you move on. I'm not moving on. I'll make it even simpler for you. If you look at Raw, if you look at SmackDown and go, Charlotte's a star, who's the corresponding one on
Sasha.
Raw?
Sasha, easy.
Well, maybe, but barely. But they never let her defend the belt, so she's kind of a
Bayley's star. Bayley's nothing. Nia Jax is the better Bayley.
I agree.
I want to do a game where we like recast everyone on the Raw women's side because everyone is playing someone else's part better.
Yeah.
Except for Alexa Bliss, she's playing the part the best anyone can ever play it. But Nia Jax could be a better Bayley than Bayley. And I don't care that she's bigger than everyone. That might even work in her favor when you're talking about wrestling fans in a women's division. Might work in her favor. I think Nia Jax would be a great, and she's one with huge potential in there. Oh, we forgot Dana Brooke too, the real star of the show.
We're gonna have another month long Asuka Dana Brooke feud, aren't we?
Yep, can't wait. Love it. Jeff, one final question for you on this show. Who did Mike Kanellis wrestle on SmackDown this week?